RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
New Week, Val, and
Beans. So, we just spent about, 40 minutes with Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who had a ton of information to share with us about the great state of Michigan.
And a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and so there, Michigan's the next one, guys. It appears that Pennsylvania's still working along, chugging along, but Michigan is going to set the tone for what comes next. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I really hope that it's done right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on. We talked about this a little bit in the interview that is going to follow shortly here. But basically, over the weekend, Barr came out on Newsweek. And I'm like watching Barr and this interview they did with him about voter fraud and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, something just isn't right here. Yeah, really weird. Then, boom, we get this letter from this House representative, which I read a little bit of here, but I want to read it again real quick before we start. It's dated Friday, June 25th, which is just past Friday. It's two. This is Michigan House Rep Dare Rendon, D-A-I-R-E-R-E-N-D-O-N, for immediate release to the citizens of the United States of America from Michigan State Representative Dare Rendon. I have read and considered the June 23rd, 2021 report titled Report on the November 2020 Election in Michigan from the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee. The Michigan Senate Oversight Committee concluded their investigation without examining appropriate evidence, expert reports, and requesting testimony from qualified experts. The report concludes that there was, quote, no widespread or systematic fraud in Michigan's prosecution of the 2020 election, end quote. And yet, the Oversight Committee chair stated in his executive summary that, quote, this investigation should not be considered exhaustive and that, quote, every possible investigative avenue was not undertaken. I am in receipt of evidence reflecting systematic election fraud in Michigan that occurred in the November 2020 election. Many Michigan voters believe that the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee's conclusion was formed without a proper investigation, and so I encourage attorneys in Michigan and beyond to pursue legal avenues that will reveal truth and transparency to the citizens of the United States. Sincerely, Dare Rendon, where's the proof and what are you doing about it? What does that mean?
You know, we're going to this time, and of course, Mr. Pulitzer is going to be able to break down the exact reasons why people are so confident in saying one thing and having it be obviously so detached from reality. It's because, once again, it's all legalese. People, it's word magic, and so much is hidden behind just these very confident assertions of, I don't know, just a false reality. If you just say something convincingly enough, then it's case closed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Aside from, you know, what you're going to hear right now with people talking about when we get to down to the use of the word, the very loose use of the word forensic in forensic audits and how it's really just fractional and partial. But the way that it's reported on, and even the way that somebody who was the supposed top lawyer in the United States, Bill Barr, speaks so what you think is assertively on an issue, that's just it. And all it really takes is for somebody to push the pin to the balloon and it all goes away. There's nothing to this.
It's really something what they're doing. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some other stuff today, but I don't know if we should do that. I kind of feel like maybe we should just let Jovan take the spotlight for the entire show. He has a lot of great information he shared with us. So everybody, I guess, keep your eyes peeled. We're doing a story at Uncover DC today about they had a pride parade in York County, South Carolina this weekend, Frank.
Uh-huh.
And this has to do with the library being at this pride parade and some of the malfeasance that's gone on behind the scenes. This story is going to it's a local story that I think is being reverberated around the nation. So keep your eyes out for that today. Also, something about Tennessee, which I know you're probably familiar with, Frank, is coming today as well. And I guess without further ado, we will go into Jovan and let him talk with you for the rest of the show. All right. So Frank and I are joined again by Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Thank you so much for joining us today. You've got a ton of stuff that you want to talk about, mainly centering around Michigan. So I'm just going to give the floor to you to tell all of the folks listening what it is that you'd like to get across.
Well, I want the people listening, you know, what we need to understand, and I had this discussion with people in Michigan yesterday, the people that are fighting for the clause. And what I have found was, look, the systems broke, and they broke all the rules in these states where nefarious things happened. And then you have these patriots, God bless them, and they're fighting it, but they want to fight it. Well, that's not what the rules say you can do, or you can't do this. And I try to tell them, the rules are over, folks. The new rules have to be made now. And that's exactly what Arizona did. Went and created brand new rules and created this thing called a full forensic audit. So here's what alarmed me is I saw an article by the Gateway Pundit this last week, and they were interviewing a freshman representative from Michigan by the name of Steve Carrera. I think that's how you say it. And he said, we're going to do a forensic audit in Michigan. And then he started to lay out his plan. And his plan was they're going to go to, you know, all the districts, choose 10%, then do 20% of the ballots in the district. Some kind of convoluted mess. And I literally, basically, my jaw almost dropped. Number one, America has an understanding completely of what a forensic audit is now when it comes to elections. And it's exactly what we did in Arizona. You look at everything. And by everything, it means you're not only looking at the machines and hard drives and stuff like you've done in the past, but you are looking at every single ballot cast in every single category. And so that is what America expects a forensic audit to be. You know, America, think about it this way. America and watching TV, one of the longest running television shows on TV. I love it to death, right? I binge on it. It's called Forensic Files. Now, I dig it because I'm learning about all new technology and techniques. But when America thinks about that, they understand that means looking at the microscopic stuff and all this other stuff. Well, I got into a debate with this rep. And the person who helped him with it, who is also a patriot, and they said, well, we're going to forensically look at the hard drives. And I go, just because when you look at a hard drive, they call it a forensic look, doesn't mean you're doing a forensic audit. By the way, we have never had any audits in American history where they looked at a small portion that actually either changed outcomes, change laws, or made them get rid of machines and software. It has never happened in history of auditing, ever. That's a false premise. The only time we've ever looked at a portion of anything, although it was a whole of an area. And that was in 2000, and that was with the Hanging Chad debacle. They looked at all the Miami-Dade area, not just a little bitty fraction of it. But more importantly, they looked only at the paper. And of course, you know, in the paper at that time, you had three people on the Bush side and you had three people on the Gore side, and they're fighting over what's a hanging chad, and they supposedly have an impartial person in between. Well, the Bush side was saying, well, the paper, that's only hanging because we've handled the paper so many times, and they fight their case. And then the Gore side would say, no, this is Florida, and there's a lot of little old ladies and a lot of weak people, and they just didn't push hard enough, and they'd fight and argue and haggle, three people against three people with an unbiased, and then they would still come up with an agreement. That still had the human element. People now understand, and what I've done with kinematic artifact detection and deployed in Arizona is we took the human out of it. The bottom line is it either is a real ballot or it's not a real ballot. It either is the right paper or it's not the right paper. It was either voted by a human, meaning filling in the oval when it was mailed in, and not a machine. And if it was a machine when it was mailed in, you immediately know something wrong. So people understand this. So I tried to explain this to the rep. And I said, you have to understand, America knows the difference now. And you, being a Republican, if you come out and say, we're going to do a forensic audit, America has an expectation. But what you're doing is you're buying into the old system. See, the old, it's not just that we have compromises in our election process and the machines that do it and the way we do it. The audit process is rigged, too. If you took just a square and you drew a square of dots, right, like we used to play as kids in the cars, if you're old enough, you know, somebody has a piece of paper, you draw little four dots, and whoever gets to draw the one line that makes it into a square wins the square. Well, that kind of thing. And if you just did 10 across, 10 down, and filled them all in, and you had one single ballot in there that was bad, okay, well, you had, and you say, I'm going to find it fractionally, you've got 9 slices across from left to right to find that one in the bottom right corner. You got 9 slices up and down, and then at diagonal. By the time you get done, you get over 50, 60 slices before you would ever, any one line would cross that bad ballot. And that's why you can't find it. Then you have the catch of the law. And this is what I tried to explain to this freshman rep. You know, there are rules, and here are the rules. When Attorney Barr came out, and Michigan being part of this, and remember, Michigan said we did the most fantastic, deep, incredible, special audit of ever. 5.5 million votes. Yeah, great. What'd they do? They looked at 18,000 ballots out of 5 million. Well, they looked at 18,000 ballots out of 1,300 locations when there's really 5,000 locations to look at. Well, why'd they pick those 1,300? Well, the rig in the audit is you pick the places where you know runs great, because you can't have a rig if every place is rigged. You got to have stellar clean places. So they pick 1,800 places where they don't have influence to do nefarious things, and they looked at 18,000 ballots. Well, so you're looking at what? Not even 4 ballots per each place that has a couple of thousand ballots. That's just a joke. And I said, you're using a term that America has a definition for. And what you're about to do is you're about to undo what the great people of Arizona made happen. And that's when I explained to him the Arizona story. First off, Arizona didn't want to do anything. Then an Arizona rep, which is how it starts, proposes up, hey, we've got to do this. It's the Senate that approves it. And so they said, okay, we'll do a fractional audit. And as we all started discussing it, I said, look, if you do a fractional audit, I'm not doing it. I'm out. And because they kept on pushing for fractions, you can't find it in fractions. So the people started pushing. Then they got the Arizona Senate to do the right thing. And what was the right thing? They agreed to do every single ballot, which is what you've seen done. Now that Arizona has set that standard, we can't afford for Michigan or any other state, after 23 states have been through Arizona, to understand it and look at it. And if you watched it on camera and you're watching my process go through and the colors and how it works, you understand it's incredibly transparent, and it's designed to look at it under meticulous standards and circumstances. So what we can't afford is 2 things. We can't afford Michigan to keep on using the term, we're going to do a forensic audit, when they know it's not. Because the moment Michigan, if they approved to look at some infractions again, they would hijack back that definition, which is a left tacket, hijack a definition, and go back to fractions. And then those other states, we would never, ever have a hope of finding what was wrong, because we wouldn't be looking at every ballot, because they will all take the least path of resistance. And that's the problem in Michigan. The person consulting this rep was a former senator twice, and they always take the path of least resistance. So the law that kills all this is the following. When Attorney Barr came in and said, we're not going to hire a special prosecutor because we've looked at the evidence and we do not believe there is enough evidence that would make a material outcome in the election. Now, here's what that means in non-political speak. If Michigan was lost by 155,000 votes, and if a group of us patriots on our own investigated and we found 150,000 bad votes without doing an audit, and we went into their Secretary of State or Attorney General's and says, look at all this, we want an audit to look at everything. They would be able to say by law, look, we're sorry that, you know, but you didn't find enough to absolutely prove there was a problem. So screw you, hit the road. See, they put the burden of proof on the people or the people that are looking for the bad stuff, but without access. So if you don't walk in and show 155,002, you don't get a look. And so that's what I was telling them. You have to understand how these words work. If you do a fractional audit, and you know you can't find it, even if you find a few, there's a second rig. And the second rig is, okay, you're going to take 10% of the districts. You can look at 20% of the things. Even if he found 154,000 bad things in that fractional, they can still say, yep, but it wasn't enough to change the outcome of the election. And that's how fractional audits are rigged.
The same way there's fractional voting. I mean, yeah, Jovan, this is what I was talking to you right before we came on. Her name is Dare Rendon, and she put out this letter. She's a state rep from Michigan. She said, I've read and considered the June 23rd, 21 report entitled Report on the November 2020 Election in Michigan. I skipped a paragraph, but I am in receipt of evidence reflecting systematic election fraud in Michigan that occurred in this November 2020 election. Many Michigan voters believe the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee's conclusion was formed without a proper investigation. So I encourage attorneys in Michigan and beyond to pursue legal avenues that will reveal truth and transparency to the citizens of the United States. So she's basically saying, I have something in my hands that proves widespread systemic fraud. Do you have any idea what she's talking about? And does it dovetail with what this senator is trying to accomplish or thinks he's trying to accomplish?
Well, see, that's the deal is that, let me tell you what I've learned first. Let me go backwards for a second. I would have always called myself, and I'm just being transparent here. I would have always called myself a conservative by default, being a conservative, been a Republican. I don't think I would use the term Republican for me anymore because I don't think the Republicans have stood up and done what it needed to do after the election. That's number one. Number two is when I got out doing work in Arizona, I realized they have Democrats and McCainites. Now, I know that sounds really weird. They're not even rhinos.
Yep.
There's something different, and that something different is called a McCainite, right? And it means they go much deeper, if that's even possible, than being a Republican in name only. Well, Michigan kind of has the same thing. See, this Michigan Senate Oversight Committee, who put out this report, and the report sounds, you know, really good, gobbledygook, special. It's a report on the November 2020 election in Michigan, and it basically says it's by committee members, Senator Edward McBroom, who's the chair, Senator Lana Thies, who's the majority vice chair, Senator Jeff Irwin, who's the minority vice chair, and Senator John Bizon. Let me tell you how this game is played, because it dovetails into what I told you about Attorney Barr. You know, we all expected him to be great and do wonderful things and would have thought he was rock solid. And then when it came to it, he basically used how the system is corrupt. See, they've set standards all the way around to never deal with this stuff. But here's this statement they issued regarding me. Now, listen very carefully because words matter. And if you remember in Georgia, when I am testifying and I literally basically show the Georgia Senate Oversight Committee, I say, here's how they falsely rigged the papers by changing the printing to force adjudication. My only point was when somebody adjudicates, that means somebody else than you gets to decide what the vote is.
Yep.
Now, as we're going through those hearings during the day, and I'm going to give you a little of the background here. As we're going through those hearings today, one person on my team who is a global bigwig, I mean, a massive bigwig in technology, basically is just right across the street at the Cobb County Library, which is where the voting's going on. And so I can't bust out the teams we've got running around looking at this stuff and finding how it's going on while this Senate runoff's going. And he basically calls me and goes, holy crap, I'm in. I can see the poll pads and I can see all the poll pads connected together. Mm-hmm. And I go, great. Now, I'm on the congressional record already. This is a live event. So I come back to the attorneys and I say, look, we can see the poll pads and we can see the poll pads connected, meaning not, you know, to each other in the systems. And I go, I want to get this on the record. And so they said, great. And so I came in, they interrupted, so I came in and I said, I just want to let you know, we're in the pulpit and can see them connected. That's the breadth of the statement. Now, one day later, Ratz Asberg, that's the Secretary of State in Georgia. I always butcher his name, but I think you say it Ratz Asberger. But Ratz Asberger releases an article that basically says, I'm a failed treasure hunter, I'm failed this and whatever. Now, the reality of press is if you don't matter, then you don't freaking matter, yeah. Right? They don't worry about you. So they're terrified that I know. So Ratz Asberger does this thing on the Georgia website and puts it out there, blah, blah, blah. Well, 1 week later, all of the Republicans on that committee, they fired them. They removed every one of them from that committee just for bringing me in. So I'm sitting there with my team, and we can see the poll pads. Now, you have to understand what the poll pads are. It's not some little, like, kid's toy where it just only does that, right? It's actually an iPad, a full-fledged, powerful, top-of-the-line iPad of the day. Everybody knows that's a computer. Everybody knows it does everything you want to do. Now, what Georgia failed to tell you is those iPads, full computers, can talk to the net and everything else, can be hacked. It's why you have to worry about going into Starbucks and you sign a release when you sign on with your pulpad or your iPad or anything else saying, you know, people can hack it. It's just because it's the truth. What they don't tell you is they deployed 6,900 of those almost across almost 3,000 places in Georgia. Every single one of those pulpads are connected to each other. When you take one small computer, and you can connect it to another computer, and you can make them all work in unison. That's called a mesh network. It's how they make all the drones fly together, and you see these little bitty toy drones, but they make them all work together, and they can pick up a loaded semi, and fly it down the road. That's called mesh computing, because it works at a greater power magnified. So they don't tell you that. Secondly, they don't even tell you in the damn manuals for the POPADs and the Georgia paperwork, which I have copies of, that it says, make sure you flip off this switch because if you don't, people can get into the system. But they lied and came out. Gabriel Sterling, who's not too sterling in my opinion, right? He's rather soiled. He said, oh, they're just pull pads and can't be connected to the net. So here's what Michigan released, because, you know, it's all about spoiling me. I really don't care. You know, I've been called everything in the book, and I don't worry about it. And the reason I don't worry about what they call me in the book is I'm totally fine with any name they call me, as long as they don't find out that Richard Gere was my friend and that damn gerbil was my pet. As long as they don't find that secret out about me, then I'm totally okay. But aside from that, I miss that gerbil. He's really good, but he never looked the same afterwards. But anyway, after that, they issue this report, and here's what they say. The chair contacted various officials from Georgia to understand the testimony and events in question there, particularly the testimony of Jovan Pulitzer, which purported to have on-the-spot access to, now here's what they said I had access to, manipulate voting files and vote counts. This has been demonstrated to be untrue and a complete fabrication. He did not at any time have access to the data or votes, let alone the ability to manipulate the counts directly or by the introduction of malicious software in the tabulators. Nor could he spot fraudulent ballots from non-fraudulent ones. Now, what those guys did was a statement that has nothing to freaking do with me, except they want to try to discredit me. I never said I had access to the votes. That's a lie. I never said, oh, we're manipulating the votes right now. I never said that. I never said, oh, we can load on malicious software now. I never said that. And I never said, I'm looking at fake ballots run through right now. I never said any of that crap. But this is how they take it, lump all this stuff in to make it untrue, and then try to discredit kinematic artifact detection. The bottom line is, I simply said, we're in and we can see the poll pads. And the lie underneath is they just expect people to be drivel puppets to get your news in 120 characters or less. And because they're in office, that you believe them. And that's the problem. But folks, you can look up on your own. You can go online and Google poll pad. This is where Google's your friend. And if you look up the poll pad manuals and you look at how they work with the system, there's a few things you'll find. You will find poll pad is just a name for a top of the line iPad. You know what an iPad is. It's a computer. The second thing you'll see is as it goes through it and talks about it, when you look at the election suite or the Dominion suite software poll pads, they issue a warning. And the warning they issue about these damn poll pads is, please be aware, no antivirus works on these because they're all connected, and so you're not going to have the security you think you have. Antivirus protection doesn't come with it and doesn't work. But yet, they say they're all connected throughout the state. They basically wired the entire state with these things. And this is how these words are placed. So when you take Lana Thies and Ed McBroom and John Beeson and Jeff Irwin, they filled the Michigan people full of shit. Now, it's only three reasons you do that. The first reason you do that is because you are a freaking idiot and you don't do your homework. And the office is more important to you than I don't want to cause any controversy. I don't want to get canceled. So that's the first reason you do it. The second reason you do it is you know something's wrong, but you want to stay in that senator position because, you know, it's the only place in the world that's better than an entrepreneur. Now, you may wait a long time till you get there. But it's the only place in the world. See, I'm used to building a company. I, you know, drop $2 or $3 million just to even figure if it works and then try to get it to the market and get it funding. And that doesn't guarantee it works. Well, senator, you know, talk about the best rig of all. You get elected. You get $180,000 a year. They pay you. You don't take any risk anymore. You get to raise all these election dollars. By the way, they don't tell you if you raise $20 million for an election, but you only spend $10 million of it to get elected. That rest, which is called the war chest, that's yours. They don't tell you that side of the rick, that they get to keep it. That's why they're always raising money. So you're more interested in that in your position, and you know America's in trouble, but there's no way you're going to stick your neck out because you want to stay in that position. And then the third one is you're in on it, which is the worst of all. Now, all of those scenarios, I don't want any of those scenarios. Our leaders should have balls. They should be fearless. They should remember they work for the people. I had leaders, two things. It's really interesting. I haven't released the audios yet because I record my conversations and stuff. I had one representative tell me, well, the fact that I'm doing this, the people should be thanking me personally for doing this. I'm going, are you crazy? And then I had another senator one time tell me, who in the hell do you think you are, Jovan, that you made all these 10,000 people call my office and jam our phone lines? Who the hell do you think you are? I don't want to hear from them. They jammed up our phone lines. And I politely asked the senator, are you okay? You understand I'm recording this and I'll release this. Now that senator's parading around as a hero. But granted, this is how the game's played. They don't want to hear from you. So in Michigan, if you're going to get this right, you got to understand this game. You got to understand how they manipulate the words. You got to understand how they're all in on it. Nobody wants to take this challenge on. Judges don't want to rule on it because they don't want to be the first one to have the cookie fall. They're all wimps. Same like some of these senators and stuff. And so Michigan has the problems. But you know what? I didn't say I'm in there manipulating the votes and I put in bad software. And boy, look at all the fraud ballots running through. That's crap. Total crap, and they regurgitate that crap back to the people.
No, they do, and the people aren't buying it anymore. They really just aren't. So how, I mean, I'm just, the whole Barr thing, Jovan, really gets me because he came out in, I think it was Newsweek, and said there was no evidence. I knew it was basically bull from the beginning. And
well, it's words. It's words.
Yeah, so
let
he's...
Let me take his words. Yeah.
Go for it.
We have not yet dissect the words. We do not believe that we have seen evidence or enough convincing evidence that would change the outcome of the election. He's only saying they didn't show me enough votes to underchange it. or to change it or to force me to do it. And so I have the law and I'm backing out because the law lets me do it. That's the rig.
So he says that yesterday. And then we have this letter from this Michigan rep come out, and we know what Matt DiPerno is doing. Not the Senate one, the letter from this House representative in Michigan. That's really, I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's pretty much breaking news at this point, but I'll send it to you. And I'm thinking to myself, the cover up is happening. Like, they're really trying to get out in front of whatever's going to happen in Michigan. And I don't know, honestly, if I believe that this senator who wants to do this fractional forensic audit is really on the side of truth, or if he's just trying to pacify people so they can cherry pick whatever 10% they want. Like Matt DiPerno was saying, you know, like, you can't just... You have to do the entire thing or nothing. What do the people do?
Right.
You're great about this. What do we do? What do you think we should do?
Well, here's how it works. First off, you have to rely on your House first. The House, by law, has to be the ones, which this guy did, Steve Kara did. He put it all out there and said, I do think something's wrong. I'm introducing a bill that we're going to audit these. So that's where it begins. Now, the Senate is the one that rectifies it and funds it. Now, in Michigan, I want the people to understand, in Michigan, you have $20 million already paid and funded and set aside to do exactly this when it comes to an audit. Now, what the rep proposed was a fractional audit, which is a rig. I don't blame it on him. He got completely bad advice from somebody in the system that was naive, hadn't been all the way through it, and thinks, well, we'll get a second shot at it. Well, let me tell you this. If you know the law says you must find them all or they don't have to proceed, and you intentionally do fractional audits, here's what the left says. The left says to the judge, Judge, look, these guys demanded it. They took $2.5 million. That's what their budget was going to be. Of the public's money, they looked at 50 precincts and counted and found nothing. Judge, this is onerous. They're trying to punish us even 50 times at the well. They never found anything. That's how this rig is designed.
Yep.
And so it's going to be up to the Senate to stick to their guns to do 5.5 million ballots. It can be done. It may be a $6 or $7 million proposition. But they have $20 million of the people's money set aside. I told this rep, you do fractionals, just like Arizona. You do fractional, I will not be involved. Because the bottom line is, if you do fractionals, you're not going to find it. But then the press is going to talk about me, not about you. You're still going to be a hero out there because you went after it. And I said, I'm not going to participate in that. So you're going to have to answer to your people. So here's the bottom line for the people in Michigan. Number one, you have 5,567,000 votes out there. They're in question. This is not about overturning an election. This is not about who won president. And I want you to really understand this, folks. This is only two things. It's called equal protection under the law, and it's called civil rights. If you want to file an election suit, you have to deal with election judges and election boards, and I haven't seen one I like yet.
Yeah.
So I want to tell the people of Michigan, you know what you have that's stronger than anything? A little bitty thing called civil rights and equal protection under the law. And here's what I mean. If you walked into a polling place and you cast your ballot, and that ballot somehow got rooked, crooked, messed up, or whatever, then you weren't afforded equal protection that another precinct that did that for their people did. Remember, there's good and there's bad on all sides. So your equal protection under the law was violated, and therefore you have a right to understand what happened. Secondly, you know, you hear all politicians, especially on the left, your all votes must count. Now, there's a little smoke and mirrors. All dead votes, all illegal votes, all counterfeit votes, all foreign votes must count. And so we now have to change our words, because all votes must count is shit. It must be two words, two phrases now.
Legal.
Not only should all votes count, but it should be, and your vote must be proven to count exactly the way you cast it. And so that becomes civil rights, because if you walk into a place and you, you know, let's say you're for the weed party and you've checked out, you know, Cheech and Chong for president and vice president because you're in the weed party and you cast that vote. And if that vote went in the machine and it changed it from Cheech and Chong, you're probably too young to understand this. One of their records was called the Big Bamboo. Maybe you did find Big Bamboo in this ballot, and it swapped it and it changed it to your local Kenyan American who's running or a Somali American instead. Well, that's a civil rights issue. You know why? Because you came there to exercise your civil rights to vote that everybody's supposed to be. And you cast your ballot, and that damn machine violated your civil rights. And we know that a person had to do it because the machines are programmed by people and have programs to run on them. So somebody did it. Somebody's on the line. So your civil rights have been violated. And that's what you have to understand, right? We can have somebody come in and sue your incredible Target stores up in Michigan. And why'd they sue the Target stores? Because Target ran a Black Friday special and somebody of color decided, well, they're discriminating against me and making fun of me and it's my civil rights, and get all these bullshit attorneys get on it. And Target ends up writing a $100 million check to make it go away. Well, now it's you, the people. Your civil rights have been violated because you know what? There is a good chance that you were not afforded equal protection under the law. If you live in Wayne County, odds are you were not afforded the same level of protections and system as other counties. That is a crime and must be investigated. Secondly, you have a right to vote, a civil right to vote. It's not questionable. It's not variable. You have that right. And when you exercise that vote, whether you sent a ballot or whether you walked in, and you're exercising your legal and God-given rights of casting that vote, and something happened to that vote between leaving your hand and the machine or when it got into the machine and went somewhere else, it got subverted, changed, hoodooed, dropped, kidwinkled, or whatever, your civil rights were violated, and this is a civil rights issue. And Michigan, you better wake up, and you better start screaming. And here's the number one thing. If you want to make these senators, you want to talk to Thies and McBroom and Bison, who I believe a lot of these guys think, oh, I'm the anointed elected one. It's like Mitt Romney said, these people don't understand what's going on, and that's why I have to make the decision of what they need. Mm-hmm. That's crap. You tell these people what you need. They work for you. So, folks, you get on the phone, you get on the email, and it doesn't even matter if you're in Michigan, folks. Your civil rights as a nation was violated, because if we let Michigan get away with this, it affects every other state. If we let Michigan get away with a fractional, when they're saying a forensic audit, which is horse shit. Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, when they do theirs, they're going to try to go to a fractional. Well, this is what America needs to hold standards, and we cannot let the dominoes fall that way. And so if we let Michigan do exactly what the left does, they now know, the world knows, oh, forensic audit. We're not going to do audits. We're going to do a forensic audit. And they hijack the word, and you let them, then shame on you, Michigan. But I'm going to tell you why. Arizona ponied up. It took the Wild West to take the Wild West action. You know what they did? They fought tooth and nail like they were back on the prairie and frontier again, and they fought and they got it done. They did every damn ballot in that system. Now we get over to Michigan, has a chance to continue it going, and you know what? If you go fractional, not only Michigan are you not going to find anything and screw your state, you're going to screw all the other states that came, say, one of them, your neighbor there in Philadelphia, because here's what's going to happen. The moment you allow a fractional, Michigan, you are dooming every other state to follow. And you know what's going to happen? Every one of these people that know fractionals don't work, they're going to jump on board. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yep. Everyone's going to be championing it.
They're going to not find a thing.
Yeah, they'll be championing.
That's what's at stake.
Yep, I agree with you. So we have a duty to start barraging these people. I'm going to say I agree with you because I know these people do not want to hear. Conservatives aren't usually the ones that are out there pounding the phones and pounding the pavement. You know, that's changed in the past 6-8 months. They don't like this. They don't like the pressure. They don't like being bothered. They just like the guy said to you on the phone, it really bothers them when you pester them and don't stop. So that's what we need to
do. Right.
Anything else you want to tell anyone? Thanks for giving us a half hour of your time today. Anything else you want to say before we go?
I really, folks, if you haven't seen The Deep Rig, which you've got to know some of the pieces if you haven't seen it, I want to let you know that that movie, and people are freaking out because it's got a little bit higher price than a movie on it than most do. And it's only because we're fighting for distribution for the movie. Number one, it was chosen to air as a special event in Maricopa, Arizona, because Maricopa is the one that fought this battle for America and did you a favor. That's why the event was there. But here's what you don't know. Even like in Georgia, where they sent in 100 extra attorneys to battle this for the left and 1,000 attorneys in Arizona, these people, as that movie was coming out and was trying to find venues and movie theaters to run it, those Democrats actually started calling movie theaters and chains and threatening them if you run the movie, and all of the chains said no. Even as they knew people were coming in town for this premiere, they called the hotels and said, cancel their reservation stuff, and a lot of hotels did it. The only way that movie got aired in Arizona is a church came to the rescue. A church gave that movie sanctuary in Arizona with a 5,000-seat theater, and the movie ran. That movie was welcomed with standing ovations and cheers and gasps, because in that movie, unlike any other movie you've seen on this election stuff, things you never thought possible you hear about. Now, it's not about data being swapped across the world and stuff like that. It's here's how it's done, here's who did it, and here's why. That's what you're going to find out in The Deep Rig. So what I want to share with everybody is two things. You need to support The Deep Rig. Basically, it all goes to a nonprofit anyway to continue these audits. You need to watch the movie because it is unlike anything you have heard. You're going to hear things that are going to drop your jaws. You're going to hear some things about Dominion that is going to make you blow your top. Last but not least, the left did a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant job in censoring this movie. And in that shitstorm of censoring, they have created an opportunity for each of you. And here's what I want to say. And Trace, it also belongs to you guys. A very unique thing about this movie is now you can become the movie theater. You pay a very simple license fee. There's a license with a movie.
Yep.
$500.
I did that yesterday.
Here's what's up. Pay that $500. You turn around and you as a person can get a venue or hold an online event. So let's say you hold an online event and you get 1,000 people to come in. And you take, let's say you want $5 a ticket. So you're going to get $5,000 in. It costs basically $500 to do it. You're going to make some money as a patriot if you want to do that, or you can donate it back to the cause. But now you can bring that movie. If you had 1,000 people in and you paid the license and you don't charge for it, which you can do, you got that movie to everybody for 50 cents. That was a brilliant gift by the left because they're so ignorant that think only their systems do it. So now, men and women and everybody, get your workout club, get your cycle club, get your fishing club, your knitting club, your church, your company, any organization, throw a damn block party, get you a license, hold it, make it available to anybody and everybody by opening up, and they can't block it that way. You become the distributor, but I'm telling you, this movie is one of the most amazing things virally because you understand how it could happen. It's not just it happened. You understand intricately how it was done, and that's why you need to see The Deep Rig, and I would encourage everybody to do it. And by the way, it's a beautiful movie.
It is a beautiful movie. We did this just yesterday. The Horry County GOP in South Carolina purchased the license for this movie. We showed it to, I guess we had around 100 people that came. We charged them $20 a ticket. We made it a fundraiser for the GOP. And it was really a very good movie. And I want to thank you personally, because it was a very serious movie, but you were able to somehow bring a little levity to the situation and give some folks a chuckle. But the way you explained things and the way it was presented, the movie was just fantastic. I really do encourage everyone out there, and stop getting upset about the money. The America Project has done so much good for this country so far, and just will continue to do so. So thank you, Jovan, for everything.
Well, not a problem. Thank you. Let me put that into perspective, folks. Just like I told you, Michigan, you got a $20 million budget for this. Another of this rig, another of the deep rig. Let's take Arizona. You know how much Arizona paid for the screw-in audit of every ballot? $150,000. That's it. $150,000. That doesn't even pay for one day of the audit. But that's all they would allot to it, because they didn't want it to happen. And it took in excess of $4 million to do it. And it was the public that made it happen, and everybody donating to this thing.
Yep.
And donating a little makes a difference, because there's so many of us. And so that's why you shouldn't complain about the movie. And so much happens. You know, yeah, it was $45 a ticket, and it raised a couple hundred grand that first time. That all goes to other audits. The state that it might pay for is your audit. The legal fees it might pay for is for your state to get to those audits. This is the way you get something in return. Yes, please, folks, support it. It was fun. And I can't help it. You know, I am so serious in my real life. There's a persona of me, and then there's the real me. You would think I'm the guy that would take over the room and have everybody laugh. And yeah, I can do that. But me personally, rather sit on the couch, read a book, or do research or whatever, I'm actually very, very dull. But if I didn't break it up with humor, it's like you'll find it out with any combat vets or people that have been in combat. It's why you give each other shit, kind of like in Top Gun. Because if you didn't laugh it up and you didn't have fun with everybody, you would freaking implode. And I feel the same way. If you can laugh a little bit at the way I give it to you, you're apt to remember what I'm teaching you. And that is all I'm about. I don't want to talk at you. I want to talk with you. I'm a real guy. And if I can make it a little bit funny, and I'm so funny, that one bit in the movie, and I won't blow it, but the one bit you see me do something, that was actually a joke on camera. Remember, I spent so many years in front of camera. I'm joking with the camera people, because I tell them, look, did you get the memo about the filter? And of course, they're all obsessed with their job. Oh my God, did we miss something? And I go, you didn't bring it, did you? And they're going, what? And all these little cameramen, you know, six cameramen and directors are running around looking for something. Well, where is it? And I go, you forgot the fucking thin filter. You got to put the thin filter on to make me look thinner. Where is it? Who brought it, right? And so I'm playing with them, right, just to lighten it up. And I make that quote unquote look, and they kept it. And I think it worked well.
It did.
I think it worked very well in the movie, and I'm glad they used it. And I heard that people laughed out loud. And if you can laugh out loud in the middle of this very serious thing that we all want to be crying about, then you know what? So be it. I did my job.
They actually used that again later on in the middle of when Bobby was talking. It was so good, Jovan. So good. Oh, fantastic. Have a great day. Thank you for all your hard work. And if you need any backup, you let us know we're here.
Thank you so very much. Take care, folks. Love you all. Michigan, balls in your court to do the right thing. It's time to get, you're either going to accept Michigan malfeasance. Malfeasance is when the elected officials, whatever, ignore it and do it their way and run it bad. That's called malfeasance. Or you're going to have some Michigan magic. So it's either Michigan malfeasance or Michigan magic. Michigan, it's your time to make the magic happen for the United States of America. Tag, you're it. Let's get it done.
That damn right. Okay, cool. And there he goes.
There he went.
One thing I like about him is he always has an action item for people. It's never like blah, 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 you know, and I don't know what we're going to do. It's always there's some like action that people should take. So people got their marching orders and even who they should contact.
Well, I think the most important thing that's driven home in this entire scenario is that there's a lot of very important work being done that is being done right. And for the areas of the country that are really, really fighting for a half-assed job to be done so that nothing can take the place of the current narrative, all that's really needed is for not even a large amount of people to just apply consistent pressure, raise money. Don't be afraid to spend money on causes that are, I mean, all the other side does is find ways to, I mean, they'll launder billions of dollars if they have to be able to get something going on. And like you said before, you know, some people get so squeamish because, you know, you have to pay an admission to watch a movie or, you know, to, it's, we got to get beyond that.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the complaining that I've seen, and I understand some people don't have the $45 to watch it. I get it. But you know, look, it's just, it's a constant battle. Like I'm saying to people right now, Frank, if everybody in our Dark to Light podcast room contributed $5 a month to Uncover DC, we could bring in one more full-time investigative journalist and be funded. But people have an aversion to funding things sometimes.
Well, there has been a stigma that has built up around
capitalism.
Capitalism. Yeah, no, that's really what it comes on down to.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, for a long while there, it's just it makes no sense. It makes no sense. It really does. It doesn't. So, well, I don't know. But the good thing is, like I said before, it doesn't take a lot. And it just takes a little bit of pressure, consistent pressure there. And don't allow them to just talk their way into a victory, because they really don't have anything that's propping them up.
No, they don't. They have nothing that's propping them up. And they're failing miserably. Like, people just are not buying it. So get on the phones, get on the emails, send things on over, and let's get on this Michigan thing today. You folks out there have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
New Week Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.